bet the board.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't
wizard,
care. I don't.
Wizard,
I never
wizard.
Have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
I'll bet you 20 bucks I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
You owe me 15 grand, pal.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
It's the Bet the Board podcast.
God likes me. He really, really likes me.
In the end, I wound up right back where I started. I could still pick winners, and I could still make money for all kinds of people back home. And why mess up a good thing?
Here's Payne Insider and Todd Furman.
Welcome into a busy Week 9 NFL Bet the Board, powered by Bet Online podcast. A huge show for you today. Not only a recap of what we saw on Monday night that I'm still trying to digest, Dave Mason stops by for his weekly visit to talk about the sportsbook perspective. We'll cover a majority of the big games, of course, focused on the big showdown tonight between Cleveland and Cincinnati. And the man who really needs no introduction sitting in the co-host chair, Payne, what is going on, my good man?
The big game tonight, huh? Johnny Manziel.
If there's a point spread and there's a football game being played in prime time, for the purposes of this podcast, we define it as a big game.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that. Hopefully we can redo what we did in Week 8. Lots of good information on this podcast. Lots of great outcomes for us, especially when you talk about the Cowboys getting there, the Denver Broncos, easy as it gets, and a nice backdoor cover by the Colts.
Yeah, speaking of the Colts, can you explain to me what the hell we saw on Monday night and how a team goes from being dead and buried to sneaking in the back door, having a chance to win the football game, and then, of course, Andrew Luck bit by the turnover bug yet again?
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about that great Panthers defense you love so much later on in this podcast, but it looks like they let Andrew Luck open it up a bit, got away from the ground and pound, although that was pretty effective aside from third and short, where they continued to lose yards on third and one, which seemed a number of times around midfield. But they let Andrew Luck open it up. It looked like he was not very confident early on in that game. I know we exchanged notes back and forth, a lot of patting of the ball, a lot of happy feet. Suddenly completed a few passes, and that confidence grew tremendously and almost delivered the outright win for us.
And you can make the case that the Colts may arguably be involved in one of the more fascinating games of this upcoming weekend, knowing what kind of sportsbook liability could be going to Indianapolis. And what better man, Payne, to talk about that than the one, the only, from Bet Online, Dave Mason. Dave, did you guys have a good weekend and put a little bit of hay in the barn?
Sunday, yeah. Saturday, we lost on college, but Sunday we made up for it. And then Sunday was a good day. NFL Week 8 was good for the house. Like I said, college went to the public, but NFL took it on Delta.
Sounds like my season.
And when we start looking at the Week 9 card, Dave, where are you starting to see some of the liabilities already getting ratcheted up as we're about 72 hours out from kickoff?
Well, Dave, you just touched on Broncos Colts. That looks like that's going to be one of our biggest exposures of the weekend. Right now, I mean, 94% of the money is on the Broncos, after their dismantling of the Packers the other night. You know, the public's all over the Broncos, even though you mentioned the Colts backdoor cover, and then we saw some sharp action on the Colts, and I guess you were on it, apparently. But, yeah, the Colts are still not winning. So, yeah, but the Broncos are a big, big house need, or the Colts are the house need. The Falcons, everybody's counting the Falcons. I mean, we can't find 49ers better. You know, any 49ers fans, send them our way, because 97% of the action is on the Falcons. The Packers, 78%. And tonight, you know, tonight's going to be a big need as well as about 70% of the action on the Bengals. So there's going to be some big liabilities out there for Week 9.
Well, hopefully by the end of this podcast, we may be able to make a case for there being a live dog, Dave, which will allow you to feel a little better as it pertains to the Thursday night game. Now, I know we've seen some betting patterns change this season. Sharp guys more reluctant to kind of tip their hand early in the week. Have we seen any trickle of some sharp money coming in as we sit here on Thursday?
Yeah, we got a little bit. The Raiders were a sharp play, +6, +5. That is now down to +4. And the Rams. The Rams at +3, that just moved down to +1.5. So, yeah, there's some sharpness. Like I said, I sound like a frozen record. Definitely, it's coming in slower and a little bit later. than previous years, but still some coming in.
Yeah, I mean, well, we've seen betting patterns typically change. That has definitely been the case this year. As Payne mentioned, college has been a challenge for a lot of the professionals as we look at market manipulation, and no reason to think the professional ranks are a little bit different. More importantly, though, for a lot of our loyal Bet the Board listeners who have been with us all year, they may be looking to try and reload as we go into the second half of the season. What kind of promotions can they expect at Bet Online this weekend, Dave?
Well, we have a 50% bonus for newbies. If you don't have a BetOnline account, head on over and sign up for an account, and you'll get a 50% bonus by using promo code BTB50. And that $1,000 is worth a free play. So, you know, you want to maximize your earn on that. You know, you're going to get up to $1,000 extra on top of whatever you deposit. For existing BetOnline members, you get a 30% bonus. Use BTB30, promo code BTB30 for a 30% bonus. All the terms, conditions, and details and all that stuff can be found at www.betonline.ag/bettheboard.
Well, Payne, that was one of the more interesting interviews I think we've had with Dave this entire football season.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Some good information if you were able to hear it.
deciphering that was a bit tricky. We're not quite sure where Dave was calling in from, but we can only hope it was somewhere exotic, that he took a little bit of vacation at the midpoint of the season to relax and get some sun.
Yeah, absolutely. Week 9, I am shocked. I'm still hitting on all cylinders. We are at the halfway point, and it's a long season, so you can't really bag on Dave too much.
Now, that's debatable. You're firing in all cylinders, but most importantly, the winners are there. And that is the name of the game as we head into the meat of the Week 9 slate. And may as well kick it off at Heinz Field, where the Pittsburgh Steelers play host to the suddenly red-hot Oakland Raiders. Oakland winners of two straight, now in control of their own playoff destiny in the AFC wild card picture. Pittsburgh, a 4-point favorite at Bet Online. The total in this game has moved around a little bit. Right now, we're looking at 47.5 where the market settled.
Break up the Raiders. NFL football, definitely a little more interesting when the Oakland Raiders are viable. Dave mentioned a little sharp money early in the week on the Raiders. There's no doubt about that. There is no questioning that at all whatsoever. We did talk about this on Monday's podcast, though. If it got to a price point of 3.5 where we could get a cheap buy to 3, I would be looking to lay Pittsburgh. There are some bettors who have decided to lay 4 on Pittsburgh at this point. So it's always about getting the best of the number. It's always about looking at these teams as stock and buying them at certain price points. Clearly the Raiders at 7 make sense. As it continues to trickle down, the Steelers make sense, not just from the same bettors that took the Raiders +7, but a new batch of bettors. So it'll be interesting to see where this continues to go. And again, as I said on Monday, I would love to lay 3 here.
And when you look at this game, a very similar pattern we saw unfold earlier in the year when the Steelers played host to a team from the West Coast. San Francisco opened as a 6.5-point dog. Number dipped as low as 4.5, and you saw some buyback. So I know people like to think that the sharp guys are always all on the same side. But as we know, there's a difference in position here for a lot of these things, and when you're buying a team at 4 versus taking 7, things are much different. Some trends to keep in mind, courtesy of our friends at Oddshark. Raiders 2-10 against the spread their last 12 games after winning straight up as an underdog, albeit they did that last weekend after having beat the Chargers the week before. The Steelers coming in this game 7-2-1 against the number the last 10 after losing straight up. And Big Ben typically much better in his second game back off the DL, or whatever we want to call it, in the National Football League than he is in the first game. Rams-Vikings, suddenly a relevant football game between two downtrodden franchises. You've seen some money come in on the Rams at 2.5 so far this week. Number down to 1.5. Minnesota, a short home favorite, total of 40 at BetOnline. Payne, are you buying either one of these teams amid their resurgence?
Not sure if I'm buying either team. The Vikings, again, we talked about them on Monday. 5-2 start, fantastic. Looks like the win totals are going to cash for the sharp bettors that went over as low as 6.5. But the defense has been kind of the engine to the car, so to speak. This Vikings offense, getting the ground game going a little bit, Stephon Diggs has been a great addition, but Teddy Bridgewater, they're really limiting what he does offensively, and I think it's holding this offense back as a whole. You're looking at a team right now, 27th in overall offensive efficiency, so it's tough to lay prices with any team like that that's porous. Last week, smoke and mirrors win. Chicago was the right side. Chicago deserved the win here. And it does not surprise me that the Rams, with a rejuvenated ground game, took money. It opened as high as 3. That was the side. Clearly now, again, at 1.5, 2, not as attractive on the Rams.
And when you mention the Vikings and the emergence of Stephon Diggs, he missed a little bit of practice time this week, so encourage all of our listeners to monitor his status. The Vikings, when you handicap this team, Payne, if we assume that Adrian Peterson is going to have a little bit of trouble running the football against this stout Rams defensive line, does it make it that much more difficult to try and back them knowing Teddy Bridgewater is going to have to be the one to lead you to the promised land?
Yeah, certainly, and that's why it's Rams or pass for me, and that's why we've seen significant sharp money come in on the Rams. We talk about this Vikings offense. The offensive line, not great. The running game has been there a little bit, but Adrian Peterson dealing with a number of nagging injuries as well as Stephon Diggs. No surprise with Stephon Diggs. We knew how talented he was. He was a first-round talent. His injury problems are the reason why he fell to round 5. So for me, again, Rams are passed. They're going to make the Vikings one-dimensional here and force Teddy Bridgewater to really do something he hasn't done all year, and that's kind of lead this Vikings offense and team to a victory on his shoulders.
Well, one guy or two key figures in front offices that haven't led their team to victories. As we record the podcast, Payne, the Lions have just fired their general manager and team president. So clearly things are changing in this NFC North. We know Detroit has struggled. What better way than to shed a little bit of dead weight during a bye week?
Yeah, I'm shocked Jim Caldwell wasn't in that clean sweep. I think he is he's horrible. So we need to figure it out.
I think he's next. I mean, he's got to be next. And I know you were a little bitter going back, not to revisit Monday's podcast for too long, talking about, you know, overachievers and underachievers. You plan to go on a rant about Ken Whisenhunt. Apparently the Titans were reading your mind with their decision to let their head coach go as well.
Yeah, 3-20 under Ken Whisenhunt. So by luck variance alone, you could take any random idiot off the streets. He could have went 3-20. And I think with any new coach in general, when you're looking at that growth period, you certainly want to give him time, but he's got to put some type of stamp on the team. Is this going to be an offensive team? Is this going to be a physical team? Is this going to be a team that's led by defense? And when you talk about, you know, Ken Whisenhunt, he was supposed to be an offensive guru, and his team this year, 29th in offensive efficiency. So when your head coach is an offensive guru and your offense stinks, it's time to move on, find a coach, even if it's in that growth stage, to at least put his stamp on the team where you know you're headed in a certain direction.
Well, you know what's funny when you mention teams with an identity? Here are two teams meeting in a AFC East showdown between Miami and Buffalo that are clearly trying to figure things out. As you mentioned, the honeymoon phase over in Miami for Dan Campbell and company as the Dolphins go on the road to take on a Bills team who manhandled them down there in South Florida in their previous meeting this season. You're looking at Buffalo, a 3-point favorite, not even flat. You only have to lay a nickel if you like the favorite here. Total on this game, 44. You look at Miami, this is a team who's made a lot of people money as road underdogs during the month of November. 9-3 against the spread the last 12 times they've been installed in this role.
Yep, this is kind of the role they thrive in. But for Dan Campbell, this is the test, right? Your first two victories, was it his doing? Or do they simply just play crap opponents in ideal spots? And we will find out here. It's going to be a tough task. You're without Juwan James, your starting right tackle. Your pass rushing specialist, Cam Wake, he's out. But there's no excuses. Everyone is injured in the NFL, and when you look across the sideline at the Buffalo Bills, Kyle Williams, probably their best defensive player, he's out. Mario Williams, Sammy Watkins, been limited all week at practice. Percy Harvin, he's out. This is a must-win game. If you lose, your season is over. It's as simple as that, and I think you really have to lean on the ground game here. That's obvious. But Ryan Tannehill is going to have to take that next step. We talked about this 9 weeks ago in the preview podcast that Tannehill has to be better on third down. He has to be better in the fourth quarter. If you look at some of these numbers, 76 passer rating in the fourth quarter, completes 54% of his passes in the fourth quarter, and you look at third down, Miami is the worst team in the NFL, the worst. And one thing that I had to dig in a little deeper, because I know a lot of people thought they couldn't run the ball, but they can. Right now, Miami is rated, they're seventh in the NFL on first down yards per play. So it's not like Tannehill's backed up in third and 10. He's getting manageable third downs, and they're just not converting them. It's very simple. Be better. Do better. Must-win game for the Dolphins here. The season's over.
Yeah, and we've talked about the Dolphins, how difficult their schedule looks, but don't look at Buffalo. After this home game against Miami, five of their next six games will all be on the highway. At the Jets, at New England, at Kansas City, home against the Texans, at Philadelphia, at Washington. So you can make the case that whoever loses this football game may as well mail it in the rest of the campaign and just look for a higher traffic to get things sorted out. So one of the more fascinating games to watch with a lot of side stories in addition to what we'll actually see on the football field. Carolina Panthers, another big game for them at home this week against the Green Bay Packers. We've seen this number kind of balloon from where it opened. Green Bay took sharp money at -1, price out to 2.5. Total on this game sits at 46.5. Do the Packers bounce back in this particular spot, Payne, or do the Panthers keep this gravy train on the tracks that clearly has been doing nothing but lining people's pockets, albeit struggles in the favorite role, but winners of what feels like 11, 12, 13, I don't even know anymore, regular season games in a row?
Yeah, I don't really like to talk certainty when it comes to betting. There's really no ABC approach, and this isn't a rule for me by any stretch, but I tend to stay away from teams that win and look impressive in primetime spots the next week. I tend to try and make a case for teams that looked horrible in primetime spots the previous week. So for me, it's Packer pass. You get the Panthers 7-0, fat and happy, doing it with some smoke and mirrors. And when you break down the game Monday, you don't expect a physical contest when you play the Colts, but it was a physical game. So you're now dealing with a short week, went to overtime. You essentially played five quarters of football. And when you break down this Panthers team and you look for angles in any betting market, this defense is kind of one that I think the metrics are a little skewed, and it's presenting some good value here on the Packers. Right now, they are a top five team in defensive efficiency, and that blows my mind because I think they're a bit phony. Defense, ninth in yards allowed, 10th in points per game allowed. But by our metrics, they've faced the 21st averaged offenses. And I think even that number is skewed because their best offense faced was New Orleans, and they faced Luke McCown. So the defense, to me, just break this down. They've faced Bortles, Mallett, Luke McCown, Winston, Bradford, Wilson, and Andrew Luck, who was beaten and battered. So I think the defense is a little phony here. I think the Packers probably have some success on offense.
And you mentioned a team that looked pretty impressive in their win on Monday night. I know we hit on it briefly. You know, what do you make of Carolina and the way that game unfolded late? More prevent defense or Indianapolis able to find a few things that you think Green Bay can build on as they look to game plan with an extra day of preparation for this one?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Colts finally just took the gloves off and said, we're going to go with Andrew Luck. And they opened the game up, they spread him out, and they let their best player do what he does. Granted, they were able to establish a ground game, but we talked about it. They fizzled out when they needed that 1 yard around midfield. And it was just kind of one of those games where that next momentum play would kind of determine who covered that game. So I thought the Colts did a great job initially after the early turnovers getting down 10-0 for them to make a push. I just don't think the Panthers are that great, and I think there's going to just be a lot of value fading them moving forward. So for me, I think this is, again, Packers or nothing.
No disagreement from me here. I know a lot of the listeners will be double-taking a bit when they hear us recommending a public road favorite in this spot, but numbers dictate our decision-making process in this. You don't really worry about too many of the other external factors. You mentioned the Colts and how they performed on Monday night, had a glorious chance to kind of steal a game they probably didn't deserve. They have the daunting task of hosting the Denver Broncos. We've already seen this number that opened at 3, balloon out to 5. We said on Monday that 3 wasn't going to last in the market. Total in this one, 45 at BetOnline. Now, to the Colts' credit, they have thrived as a home underdog. 8-0 the last 8 times they've been installed in such a position. But this Denver defense about as sticky as anybody. And as you heard Dave Mason say earlier on the podcast, Payne, you're going to see 90-95% of the public action coming in on the road favorites here, especially knowing it's the lone late kickoff on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, again, manipulating numbers here. It's very, very easy when you know where the market's heading. Even if it isn't a true position or where you will end up on the game, it's very easy to come out, lay Denver minus three, knowing where this game is going to go, and you can easily come back and take the Colts. Part of this move, T.Y. Hilton, very questionable with a foot injury. Quarterback situation, clearly not 100% healthy with Andrew Luck. So for me, right now, at this point, I would need more to get involved. Five is that dead man zone. Six maybe gets a value bet from me on the Colts, but we'll see if it gets there. Seven, I'd probably be really interested, but for me at this price point, I just can't do it without a lot of the injury information I'll be waiting on to receive here.
And public or not, I think a lot of people are going to look at this particular spot expecting maybe a letdown from Denver after their huge one on Sunday night. But don't forget, this was a Colts team who went into Invesco Field last year in the playoffs and embarrassed Denver. So if you're thinking for a second this isn't a game that Denver may have had circled on their calendar coming into the season, I think you're sorely mistaken. And knowing the fact that the Colts have covered eight straight against the Denver Broncos, albeit a handful of those games before Peyton Manning arrived in the Mile High City.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you probably nailed that. It's a great factor to consider about the revenge angle here. Certainly one they've probably had circled on their calendar all offseason. So for me, again, with those injuries, I'm not doing anything with this game at this point in time. Obviously, if the market gets ridiculous and it gets to seven, it's something I have to ponder at that point, but nothing for me at this price.
I want to ask you real quick about the total in this game, Payne. We've seen the trend, and you and I have profited handsomely from going under in the first half with Denver Broncos games, as the totals reflect a team that plays a little bit faster tempo and wants to air it out. At 45, assuming a first half total, 22.5, 23, can we make a case to maybe look to go under, expecting these two teams to start slow?
Difficult number at 22.5. So for me, it's not anything I'm considering at this point.
Always good to know, and we continue to look for some of these price points. As we mentioned, the total has not budged from where it opened at 45, but you have seen that line go from 3 to 5. And I don't want to call the Sunday night football game a de facto elimination contest, knowing Dallas will get the services of Tony Romo back in 2 weeks. He was going through some light throwing earlier this week, but Philadelphia off the bye. A 2.5-point favorite, you do have to lay $1.20. Total in this game, 44.5. The away team has experienced a ton of point spread success in this NFC East rivalry, going 7-1 against the spread the last eight times the Cowboys and Eagles have locked horns.
What are the Cowboys doing at quarterback? I think
it's a glorified dumpster fire, but the reality, if you look at what the Cowboys have done, filling in with Brandon Whedon and Matt Castle, maybe they're learning from what's gone on in Austin and Charlie Strong, the way he's handling quarterbacks in the college football ranks.
I get the situation isn't ideal, but you can't convince me Whedon doesn't give you a better chance. I watched every single snap of that Cowboys game, and you can look in a man's eyes, and it will tell you everything you need to know. And Castle was a deer in headlights Sunday. So I know he was practicing this week, but I am told he had a brace on his knee all week. So that will be an interesting thing to consider. I'm going to make this pretty short and simple. It's Eagles or pass. In effect, this is kind of the propeller for the bird season. Win here, and I think you kind of put the NFC East in your hands. Control your own destiny. Jason Peters, from what I'm told, is really, really going to try and give it a go to match up with Hardy at left tackle. Linebacker unit looks as healthy as it has all season. Kendricks not on the injury report. Kiko Alonso, D'Amico Ryans, both probable. The offense potentially gets Nelson Aguilar back, so that could be a welcome addition. I know a lot of the guys internally think he's going to have a breakout second half of the season. So you're getting guys back. You have the bye week. This is essentially the Eagles Super Bowl here. I think anything less than three is a probably pretty good bet on the Eagles.
There's no doubt about it that we know Philadelphia has a lot at stake here. You look at the current odds to win the NFC East, the Eagles in a flat-footed tie with the much-maligned Giants, Redskins and Cowboys a step behind them as both of those teams try and figure out their identity. And Payne, as we always do, we wrap with the Thursday night preview. But before we get there, I want to give a shout out to a loyal listener named Tevin, tuning in right now in West Central Illinois, probably on his route delivering beer for Budweiser. He's reached out to us in the past, sent us a very complimentary email. And for all the haters and detractors which we get each and every week, which, by the way, we thank for listening too, because you only help our cause, want to make sure that we appreciate all the positive feedback. If you guys have questions, concerns, good, bad, or indifferent, Payne and I want to hear about it. Our goal each and every week is to give you the best product we possibly can and better prepare you to go to the window on Sunday or hopefully on Thursday and we tell you which numbers are going to move and make a little bit more money in your football betting. So, Tevin, thank you very much for that nice email. I know both Payne and I were very thankful to hear that from you and glad that we're making a difference in your wagering each and every week.
Riling up the coop, I see. Yeah, I had a chance to read the email, and if Tevin is listening, I have no issues being a silent financial partner in the potential endeavor he emailed us about.
So. Well, we're also happy if he has any connections or any listeners out there for sponsors who are interested, mainstream or otherwise. You know, we don't turn down free beer, and we're more than happy to try and endorse just about every product out there. So Payne and I don't discriminate. And at Payne, as we look at the Thursday night game, Johnny Manziel gets his second stint as starting quarterback. We'll see how long it lasts this time. Cincinnati puts their undefeated record on the line as an 11-point chalk right now. Total in this game, 45. It was about a year ago, though, where Cincinnati was in a similar spot, laying nearly a touchdown to the Browns. The Browns went into the jungle and came out victorious in dominating fashion. Can we make a case to back a double-digit dog led by Johnny Manziel despite a defense that looks like an absolute mash unit?
This is effectively the Browns Super Bowl on national TV against their biggest rival. You nailed it. We saw them perform well. Same exact spot last year, Thursday night, going into Paul Brown Stadium, beat the Bengals 24-3 as a dog. It's a bit tougher this time. Six starters are out. No Joe Hayden, no Dante Whitner. And when you dig a little deeper into the Dante Whitner issue, his backup is also out. So Cleveland is forced to start a rookie safety. This could be really tough when you talk about this Bengals passing game, number one in efficiency in passing. So that can make matters a bit tougher. Josh McCown, obviously out. I know we've bagged on him a bunch, but he's had a very, very productive season. So you got Manziel. Without two of his top weapons, it looks like Hartline and Hawkins also out. Uphill battle for sure. That said, no part of the Bengals here. I want nothing to do with them. They got the monkey off their back, beat the Steelers last week. I think they're 2-8 their prior 10 meetings against the Steelers. You're 7-0. You're four games up in the loss column in the AFC North, plus some tiebreakers. And more importantly, I think this is a game where this matters. You're 7-0 against the spread this season. So if we believe the betting market is efficient, shouldn't this be a specific spot that dictates that?
I think you definitely talk about it, and we heard Dave mention earlier how important this game will be to the house as a standalone contest on Thursday night. You look at the college football slate it's going up against, and not exactly the most attractive set of games outside of maybe Baylor and Kansas State. But, Payne, we've also seen money on the total, and this one opened 47.5, obviously under the assumption that it would be McCown out there. Seeing 44, lows of 44.5 here in Vegas, there are some 45s and 45.5 available offshore. Do we think there's still some value to go under, given how sloppy we've seen these football games? Thinking Cleveland's the side, and they're going to have to get stops, or maybe Cincinnati just tries to use ground and pound with Bernard and Jeremy Hill. Shorten the clock, get out of here with, say, I don't know, a 17-10 type victory.
No. No. I get it. Short week. Not a lot of preparation. These teams know each other very, very well. Condensed game plans. I get all that. I think you will probably see some appetite from the professionals as this ticks lower to go over this number now that you're off of 45. When you really look at this game, I think Cleveland's game plan should be easy. You need to help Manziel out, and you need to get the ground game going. But we talk about how bad the Browns' run defense is. The Bengals is worse. They allow 5 yards per rush. So if the Browns are going to have success offensively, you would think they would be able to establish a ground game. We know Manziel likes to air it deep, and that's good for two reasons. He potentially connects to Travis Benjamin or whoever his deep threat is, or he's turning the ball over. He's had some fumbles this year. I just think there's a lot of turnover options with him. And when you talk about the Bengals' offense, I think they will have some success, whether it's on the ground. Maybe Jeremy Hill gets going this week. The secondary injuries we talked about. So I would not be looking at under here, and I definitely would not be looking at it as you're attempting to chase steam on a bad number.
Yeah, and you mentioned these run defenses. Cleveland dead last in the NFL, surrendering almost 150 yards per game, 14 yards worse than the Detroit Lions. And you mentioned Cincy, a little bit of smoke in those numbers, middle of the pack in terms of yards per game, but allowing 5 yards per carry, good for dead last. So it should make things awfully interesting. For me personally, I'm going to be looking to be on the sidelines, maybe explore a prop or two, but nothing I feel comfortable sharing with our loyal listeners, knowing how much money we've put in their pockets over the last few editions of the Bet the Board podcast.
Yeah, for me, it's definitely dog or nothing, and if I had to, I think there are a few sevens out there in the first half. That'd be the only number I would consider. If I could get seven first half on the Browns, that'd be the only way to look. I think if they're in the game early, it's a great opportunity to cash the ticket. If they're not in the game early, I think it'll be tough to play catch up. I really do. So
can
I think
guys,
it's.
Do you guys remember any team aside from the Patriots actually looking fluid on a Thursday night game? They're the only team that comes to mind.
Because they're the most prepared team in the NFL.
I mean, but
you know what?
It.
I would say, I don't know if fluid, but we go back early in the season. I think Denver, Kansas City, despite starting slow, both those offenses were able to get on track. I know that game went over the total, aided by a couple of pick sixes. But, yeah, no, you're right that the level of familiarity, especially when the division short game plans, you go down to basics and it's really been the team making fewer mistakes, which sounds, you know, pretty simplistic when you don't know what the NFL looks like. Team making fewer mistakes on Thursday nights has typically walked away with the victory.
It's that right there. It's basically when you're talking about these Thursday night games against familiar opponents, there's not a lot of time to implement new stuff. It's who can run their base packages better. And it's as simple as that. So the team that has been able to run their base stuff better has won these games on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, and Payne, as you mentioned it, seeing some sevens start to pop here locally. So for our loyal listeners here in Las Vegas, you may be able to go out there, put a full touchdown in your back pocket. But as we always preach in the podcast, there will be plenty, and I mean plenty, of investment opportunities moving forward this weekend. So don't feel compelled to try and force on Thursday. But Payne, before we let all these listeners go on with their merry way, any words of wisdom as we approach week 9 of the National Football League season?
No, nothing crazy. One game that interests me a touch would be Atlanta-San Francisco. We'll see how high that gets. Would like to take a hook there. 7.5 might be something of interest to me there. We shall see. Back in Blaine Gabbert in his 5-22 record as a starter. Not the most appealing thing, but has some potential value at 7.5.
You're not asking Blaine to get you the outright win. You're just asking him to cover the number. We'll sound the alarm because you can listen to NFL podcasts across this fine country. Very few will endorse the merits of Blaine Gabbert as a starting quarterback. Before Payne Insider, we want to thank Dave Mason for stopping by as he does every Thursday, hopefully next week with a slightly better phone connection so we can understand what he's saying to share the sportsbook's perspective. I'm Todd Furman. Remember, sign up on SoundCloud, iTunes, visit us at toddstake.com. Week 10 look-ahead lines already available for you guys to check out, knowing that we're going to cover those on Monday. Follow Payne on Twitter, at Payne Insider. Follow Dave Mason on Twitter, at Dave Mason BOL, or follow me on Twitter, at Todd Furman. Best of luck week 9 in the National Football League. Be right back with you come Monday, and hopefully by then we'll see you at the window.